call to worship this evening is from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 4. And as we come into the place of God, we hear his word, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Scripture reading for this evening is from the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1, verse 19 through chapter 2, verse 12. Ruth 1, 19 through 2, verse 12. "So they two," that is Ruth and Naomi, "went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, 'Is this Naomi?' And she said unto them, 'Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?' So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, 'Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace.' And she said unto her, 'Go, my daughter.' And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless thee.' Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, 'Whose damsel is this?' And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab.' And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, 'Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn.' Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, 'Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?' And Boaz answered and said unto her, 'It hath fully been showed me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.'" May God bless the reading of his holy and beautiful word to our hearts this evening. We'll make confession of faith in the words of the Belgic Confession, Article 3, titled "The Written Word of God." So Article 2 speaks about by what means God is made known to us, the book of nature, and the scriptures. And it goes on to explain the scriptures in Article 3. "So we confess that this word of God was not sent nor delivered by the will of man, but that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, as the Apostle Peter saith. And that afterwards, God, from a special care which he has for us and our salvation, commanded his servants, the prophets and apostles, to commit his revealed word to writing. And he himself wrote with his own finger the two tables of the law. Therefore, we call such writings holy and divine scriptures. Beloved, our text for this evening is from Ruth chapter 2, the portion that we read, verses 4 through 12. I just want to read verse 10, which is really at the heart of these 8 or so verses. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? What comes to mind when you hear the word stranger? Children, maybe you think fear right away. Your parents, I suppose, have trained you to never talk to strangers. There's a certain level of fear that accompanies the word stranger because they are unknown and they could present a danger. Maybe we feel discomfort because of the unfamiliar. We don't know them and they don't know us. There's a level of discomfort. Maybe we think of curiosity because of the mysterious. Someone we don't know, we want to find out who they are, what makes them tick. Maybe there's a sense of feeling threatened because of perceived danger or a threat to a known way of life. Someone who is different than us presents a threat to the way we live and the way we think. Maybe there's awkwardness when we think of a stranger because of the differences between them and us. And we highlight the differences over against the similarities of being fellow human beings, of being fellow strangers to one another, and being fellow sinners before the face of God. But have you ever thought of grace when you think of the word stranger? Do we typically associate those two things together? A stranger and grace. I think we probably don't, do we? We don't put those two things together, but the scripture does. The gospel does. We who have been estranged from God through sin are received again into fellowship with God by grace alone. And that's how scripture speaks of strangers. This is the great theme of redemption. Strangers receive back into fellowship with God by his grace. Grace that is perfectly suited for strangers. When God sees strangers to his grace, he doesn't shy away. This evening, we're going to see how God's grace works in the life of a stranger. We'll see the spiritual applications of that as well. How God works in the lives of strangers today. This stranger grace is captured in the words of Ruth that we just read from verse 10. Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? You see, Ruth wasn't bringing these two things together. To her, it was a sense of perplexity. How can these things be? A sense of wonder, a sense of awe, a sense of amazement. As we dig into the scriptures tonight, we'll see that this is gospel language. These beautiful words express the redeeming grace of the greater Boaz, even as they express the haunting reality of being a stranger to grace. And so this evening, let's dig deeper with the help of the Lord into this reality of stranger grace. We'll see tonight that, first of all, this stranger grace seeks its own. This stranger grace seeks its own. In the verses preceding these that we're considering tonight, in verses 1-3, we've seen how hope has sprung in Bethlehem through the introduction of Boaz into the story of Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi, as you remember, enter into Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest, a harbinger of things to come, that they were going to find food there, that there was hope in Bethlehem, because even as we back up even further, we read that Naomi had heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. They go to the place of bread, and now they meet Boaz. They go into his field. We are introduced to Boaz in verses 1-3. The kinsman of Elimelech, the man who would play that pivotal role in the history of redemption and the restoration of Elimelech's inheritance to Naomi and his marriage to Ruth. But as Ruth enters his field, she is dependent on grace. We read that confession in verse 2. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. As Ruth launches out into this unknown field, she says that she is dependent on grace. She needs that grace in order to be filled. Now the story of redemption continues to unfold as these two pivotal characters, Ruth and Boaz, meet one another as they cross paths in God's providence. Verse 3, we saw the writer of this book say that it was by chance, in a sense, that Ruth came into this field belonging unto Boaz. Using the language of observation from what we could perceive without our theological grid on, we would say that Ruth came by chance into the field of Boaz. But we know that in God's economy, there is no chance. There are no chance events, but everything happens according to God's plan. And so we see God bringing these two characters together. Ruth comes into the field dependent on grace, and now Boaz comes into the field himself. In verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Stranger grace comes seeking its own. Here comes Boaz. Last time we saw Boaz's character and inner life. He was the mighty man, a man of valor and courage, speaking to his, not just his courage in battle, but his spiritual valor, his spiritual strength that proceeded from his character, his heart. A heart that loved the Lord. He was a mighty man of wealth. He had all the resources at his disposal to be the man qualified to be the redeemer for Ruth and Naomi, a man of integrity, a spiritual man. And that comes through as he addresses his servants. He comes into the field and he blesses them. The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. May the presence of God be with you as you labor in the fields today. It's interesting, isn't it? We can draw applications here on how to be an employer. There's morals in this story, but that's not the main point of the story. But we can glean these applications from them. Boaz does not treat these men as mere servants or as assets or as those who contribute to his financial success, his economic well-being. When he sees his servants, he sees those in need of spiritual blessings from the covenant Lord. He greets them, wishing them the Lord's presence. The Lord be with you. He wants nothing more than his workers to flourish spiritually in the presence of God. His workers respond with a blessing in return. The Lord bless thee. What we see here is the workers of Boaz working within his sphere of spiritual influence. They are working not just within the borders of his field, but within the borders of his spiritual influence. He will not provide anything less than spiritual blessings for his workers. He shows his heart of generosity and grace even to his workers in the field. He seeks their spiritual welfare. But then he notices who is in his field. As he glances over the fields, he turns to the foreman of his reapers as he notices a solitary figure, a young woman, Ruth. And he asks in verse 5, whose damsel is this? Whose damsel is this? Boaz does not ask who she is, but to whom she belongs. What tribe does she belong to? What clan does she belong to? Who is her husband? Who is the one that cares for her? Who is the one that is protecting her? Who is the one responsible for her? The question is broad. He wants to know to whom she belongs. His curiosity is piqued as he oversees the field and he sees Ruth gleaning there. Again, he's not only interested in financial gain. He's interested in the very people who are gleaning in his fields. He's interested in this damsel, this young woman. And here we have a picture, don't we, of grace seeking its own in the person of Boaz. The person of the greater Boaz. He is the grace that seeks its own. Jesus is interested, the greater Boaz, the Redeemer, is interested in the lowest worker, the one who's doing the most menial task in his kingdom. He's interested in them. He wants spiritual blessings for them. He's interested in the stranger. He inquires after strangers, those who have been alienated from him through sin. You see, isn't this the pattern of stranger grace immediately from the opening words of the first gospel promise in Genesis? When God came to Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? Grace came to seek its own. Now here we have this question, whose damsel is this? A question very much akin to that question that God posed to Adam and Eve as he came to seek them out. Whose damsel is this? It's a question loaded with grace, isn't it? Whose damsel is this? To whom does she belong? The question of grace tonight is this: to whom do you belong? To whom do you belong? Perhaps you've confessed faith in Christ already, but you feel like a stranger still. There's so many questions, so many struggles. In a sense, you feel more out than in the orbit of the grace of the greater Boaz. Maybe you're a stranger still from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have questions. You're searching. But know this, that those who seek the Lord will find him. Why? Because grace comes to you tonight and asks you this question: to whom do you belong? Grace seeks its own, my friend. Maybe you're a stranger here, a literal stranger. You've come in the doors tonight not knowing anyone here. You haven't grown up here. It seems so foreign to you here, perhaps. And yet grace has drawn you here. The greater Boaz has drawn you here. To whom do you belong tonight? That's the question posed to you by Christ. As the greater Boaz comes to the field and observes and looks out in the field of the church tonight and asks this question. Embedded in this question is this stranger grace seeking its own, wanting to draw you out, wanting to know you better. That's the grace of Christ. He comes to seek his own. But stranger grace also identifies its own. The foreman responds to Boaz's question in verse 6. Listen to how he phrases his response. It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. He highlights three things. First, she's the Moabitish damsel. The identity that Ruth just can't shake. She is the Moabitess. She is the Moabitish damsel. She's constantly connected to Moab. She just can't get away from that, can she? She's a stranger. A stranger. A label she can't quite shake. Everywhere she goes, she's identified that way. And then the foreman states that she has come back with Naomi. She has returned. She has returned. That's it. Right there, we have a change in identity already. Remember, that word return was emblematic of the idea of repentance, of returning back to God. That was Ruth's confession in Ruth 1, 16 and 17. She had returned to the Lord from the gods of Moab, from the land of Moab, from her family. She had turned back to God and claimed God as her own and his people as her people. She has come back. The word in the original there is the word for return. She has returned. If you can't shake Moabitish, yet there's this new identity emerging, isn't there? She has returned. She has returned. This is the key to her stranger identity. She has returned to the Lord. It shows her origin. She has come out of the country of Moab. She has left everything behind as she returns to the Lord. We'll see that later as Boaz speaks with her. How she has left everything behind to return to the Lord and to his people. Central to her identification, central to her identity now, is the fact that she has returned. Still a Moabite. Still standing, as it were, outside of the covenant of Israel, outside of the people of Israel. She's still a stranger. We need to remember that this is fundamental to a stranger's identity, one who has returned. That's how stranger grace identifies her. But there's more. In verse 7, we read these words from the foreman. It's really the words of Ruth, isn't it? She said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. In the preceding verses, we saw Ruth's determination to go and glean in the field according to the provision provided in the law, Leviticus 23, verse 22. And ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest, thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So there's provision in the law. Ruth goes out and takes advantage, as it were, of that provision. She uses what God has provided. Here she is then, working hard, except for a short rest. That last phrase at the end of that verse 7, that she tarried a little in the house, is notoriously difficult to translate and interpret. As many different commentators as there are, you'll get different meanings of that phrase, but I think it conveys the sense that Ruth wasn't just standing around from morning till noon, till that point in time of the day. But she was working hard except for a short rest in the house, in the shelter. That's the picture of Ruth. She humbly asks permission and she reaps diligently, trying to provide for her and Naomi. She depends upon grace even as she works. Isn't that a picture, beloved, of the stranger grace of Christ? How he provides for strangers in his law and in his field. How he identifies them as those who have returned by his grace. How they come into his field dependent on that grace, and they glean food in the gospel. They enter in humbly and they use the provision that God has given, dependent on his grace. Where are you tonight? Well, let me ask you this. Who are you tonight? Are you a stranger who has returned? Are you a stranger who has returned from the fields and the wasteland of Moab, and now entered into the fields of the greater Boaz, where there is food enough and to spare? The parable of the prodigal son is really an echo of this, isn't it? And just reemphasizes this idea of emptiness and fullness. The emptiness of Moab, the emptiness of riotous living, the fullness of the Father's house, the fullness of the fields of Christ. And so who are you tonight? Are you a stranger who has returned? Or are you a stranger still? Are you lingering on the fields, on the borders of the fields, but still in the wasteland of Moab? Or do you enter into those fields dependent on grace, saying, Lord, I have nothing else but thy grace upon which I depend as I enter into these fields to glean into the field of the gospel, as we heard this morning and again now. There is gracious provision that the Redeemer leaves for those who come to glean. He feeds them and nourishes them in the gospel. To those who have returned to him, to those who return to his fullness. My friend, here's an invitation to enter like Ruth and reap with all diligence and humility. Because that's what we see in the next thing about this stranger grace. It invites into its field to remain there. Some of us have entered in. Some of us have entered into that field, and some of us are afraid to glean. Some of us are afraid to glean. We can't deny the grace of the Redeemer. But we come into that field and we say, can it really be for me? Maybe Ruth was trembling here, wondering what was going to come next. Was she going to be chased out of the field? No, Boaz approaches Ruth and he invites her. He addresses her for the first time in verses 8 through 9. Listen to how he addresses her. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. He addresses her as daughter. He's speaking to her in terms of affection. No longer a stranger, but drawn in as a daughter by this Boaz, this kinsman redeemer. What does he say? You hear me, don't you? That's the sense of the question. You hear me, don't you? A question throbbing with love. You hear me, don't you, my daughter? Let me get this through to you this evening. You hear me, don't you? It says that Boaz wants to ensure that he's getting through to Ruth. He doesn't want any misunderstanding about her gleaning in his field. He wants to be clear about his intentions and his grace towards her. He invites her to remain and not to go to another field. His field has ample provision. He actually commands her to remain. You stay here and don't go to another field. What a change for Ruth, for this stranger. here at last is a measure of security. On the surface, it's food security. But as we dig deeper, we'll see that it's the security of redeeming love that Ruth will experience in the fields of Boaz, in the house of Boaz. But here's the beginning of it. One who was unsure of her standing in Israel. One who is on the outside of the covenant, a stranger, is now invited and commanded to remain in the field of Boaz. The one who is perfectly qualified, we saw, to be the redeemer for Ruth and for Naomi. Boaz's gracious words assure her that she's in the right place, that she can glean here and be filled. Boaz provides a secure place to glean. Here again is the practical application that flows from the redeeming grace of Christ. Strangers that we meet, strangers that come here are often looking for a place of security, a place of belonging. But we invite them in. We show them the grace that Boaz shows to Ruth. And say, let us be clear about this. You hear us, don't you? We want you to stay here. We want you to belong here. We want you to come underneath the wings, under the feathers of Almighty God. We want you to know the benefits and the glorious provision that He gives in the gospel. Are we welcoming the stranger in, like Boaz does with Ruth, like Christ does with strangers to His gospel? Because in one sense, this is the story of every believer. The greater Boaz invites you to come, to remain close to Him, to stay in His field, to glean from His gracious and abundant provision in the gospel. You who are outside of the borders of that field are now called to come in. Christ says to you this evening, you hear me, don't you? Come in, my daughter. Come in, my son. Don't be afraid to remain here and to glean from the fields from which Christ provides. He claims us as its own. Shows us the vanity of going to glean in another field. You've been in the fields of Moab, haven't you? You know what those fields produce? A whole lot of nothing. A whole lot of misery and darkness and brokenness. But here in the field of the greater Boaz, there's enough and to spare. Christ invites strangers, even now. Those who are still on the borders, He invites them to come in. Those who are tempted maybe to leave tonight and say, I'm not sure I belong here. I've sinned. My friend, there is grace in the field of Christ. Don't go to another field. You hear Him, don't you? He means what He says, and He says, stay here. Don't go to another field. He calls you to remember the fields of Moab, what they did for you. He calls you to return in heart and mind. We see here the history of redemption is vibrant with life, vibrant with fullness. It's attractive, isn't it, to come and to hear the words of Christ. Stay in my field. Stay in my field. Come into my field through me. Return to me for bread. Return and remain. Rise, if you are a complete stranger, to the grace of Christ. Rise up, go out of the land of Moab and flee to the fields of Christ, to the house of bread, to the fields of Bethlehem. Remain near to him because he alone can feed your needy and hungry soul. That's what stranger grace does. It invites and beckons and commands into his field to remain there. But notice how this stranger grace also protects its own. Boaz seeks to protect this stranger in his field. In verse 9b, we read these beautiful words of protection. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. It's helpful to understand Boaz's words against the backdrop of the historical situation of the book of Ruth. It's right in the middle of the book of Judges, and we know that the time of the Judges was a time of lawlessness. We read gruesome stories there of sexual assaults. Some of the hard stories of the Judges. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? Nothing new under the sun. And so Boaz shows his honorable intentions towards Ruth and his desire to protect her purity. He shows us what a real man is and does. He protects her from potential predators. He commands the young men, do not touch her, keep your hands off of her. He provides for her protection. But he also provides refreshing water for her. She's come into his orbit. He will protect her and provide for her. He shows protecting grace to a perfect stranger. Isn't this a picture of the stranger grace of the greater Boaz? He too protects his vulnerable children from the ravages of the world. He commands the devils and the storms to be cast out and to be still. He's no different today. Child of God, he's there to protect you. He protects his own, provides refreshment in the harsh conditions of this world in which we live. Stranger grace protects its own from the vile intentions of sinful man, provides refreshing water, the water of the gospel, the water of Christ himself. He that is athirst, let him come and drink freely. This is stranger grace that protects and provides. What does this response, what response then does this evoke from Ruth as she stands before Boaz in the field? Well, this stranger grace that Boaz shows to Ruth humbles her to worship and gratefulness. Listen to her confession in the face of Boaz's grace in verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? What does that grace do for Ruth? We'd say in contemporary language, Boaz's grace floors Ruth. Quite literally, she falls to the floor in humility. Behind the heart of Boaz, she recognizes the Lord's provision. She's found grace in the eyes of Boaz. That's what she saw in verse 2. Let me now go to the field, glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And now she's found it, because Boaz has shown it. Isn't that true? We find grace not because we search so well or seek so hard, but because Christ shows it to us. Here's that grace on display, more than she ever bargained for. She never expected such grace from such a man. She knows that she has no hope of acceptance apart from this grace. Because of her Moabite identity, she doesn't fit in, but she's noticed by Boaz. She struggles to understand why. That why there is operates on different levels. It's in a sense, it's a question of perplexity. Why? Why? How can these things be that, how can it be that you've noticed me and I found grace in your eyes? Why is the heart of Boaz moved towards me that I should find grace, seeing I'm such a stranger? One of perplexity, but one of awe and wonder. This is what I was looking for, and now I have found it. In Boaz, he's given me grace. Isn't that the confession of a stranger who receives grace from such a man as the greater Boaz? Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Those who are strangers are humbled. We don't think anything more of ourselves than we ought to think. How can it be that Christ would notice me? Is the confession of the stranger who receives grace. The one who seeks grace will find it, but only in the Redeemer's field. Ruth's posture is one of worship and humility as she bows herself to the ground. What is yours tonight, beloved? Sometimes we can grow cold, can't we? We live out in the world. The fields of Moab still have their influences on us, and we grow cold and calloused. We get caught up in the dealings of the world around us, and we soon forget the grace, the stranger grace of the greater Boaz. We lose a sense of awe and wonder of how Christ takes notice of such sinners as we are, such strangers, and draws us in. But here we're again taught to take the posture of humility and worship before Christ, to bow before Him and say, why me? Why this grace? How can it be? Perplexed, perhaps, and yet full of awe and wonder. Why would Christ look at and notice me, an abject stranger, with nothing to bring to the table except my former identity? Here the greater Boaz beckons strangers to come to worship him, to glean in his field with a sense of awe and wonder at how he treats strangers with his grace. Seeks its own. It identifies its own. It invites its own. It protects its own. It humbles its own. And then finally, it grants wholeness to its own. Here's this stranger, Ruth. She has nothing, no connection to Israel, no food, no protection, no security. But because of the kindness and the grace of Boaz, she begins to receive these gifts of grace. She is welcomed into the covenant. She is welcomed into the orbit of greater Boaz, or into the orbit of Boaz. And yet, the situation seems tenuous, at least from Ruth's perspective. From verse 10, she's still identifying as this stranger. Seeing I am a stranger, why have I found grace? Seeing you have taken notice of me. From Ruth's perspective, will Boaz's kindness balk and falter at the reality that Ruth is still a stranger? Will he walk away and leave her to her stranger identity? Or will his stranger grace persist? Well, we know the answer from the words of Boaz in verses 11 and 12. Boaz knows everything practically that there is to know about Ruth. Listen to what he says in verse 11. Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." The stranger grace of Boaz recognizes what Ruth has done. He recognizes her kindness. He recognizes her commitment to her mother-in-law. He recognizes the cost of leaving her parental home, leaving everything behind. "How thou hast left thy father and thy mother, the land of thy nativity." How many of you have left the land of your birth? Some of you are immigrants. You know what it means to leave the land of your birth, to leave behind family and friends, a life that you've known. Not an easy thing. But Boaz recognizes the cost of Ruth leaving her parental home, her culture, her birthplace. All of these things are enormously costly to Ruth. It places her in a position of weakness, of vulnerability. Boaz could have preyed on her, but he doesn't. Ruth has left everything that was seemingly stable to place herself under the Lord's provision. She placed herself in the hands of Boaz. He recognizes that she has come to a people that she did not know. She is a stranger who comes to strangers. But what is Boaz saying here? "I know everything you've done for your mother-in-law, how you've left, how you've returned to Bethlehem, to the place of fullness. I know the cost that it took for you. I know how you've returned to a people that you did not know before." Ephesians 2:19 echoes what Boaz is getting at. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." It's as if Ruth's confession has gone before her to reach the ears of Boaz. He continues to speak to her to get to the heart of Ruth's commitment, not just to her mother-in-law, not just to the people of God, but to God himself. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Under whose wings thou art come to trust. There it is. Ruth has come home. Not just to her people, but to her God. It is this God who is her protector and provider through Boaz. It is this God under whose wings she has come to trust. Wings of protection, like a hen would gather her chicks. It's a metaphor for salvation. She's come to shelter under God's redeeming protection. She is home. A vulnerable stranger taken under the wings of Almighty God. Stranger grace is beautiful, isn't it? The gospel makes it so that stranger and grace are not antonyms, are not opposites of each other, but are synonyms. They work together, uniquely suited for each other. Stranger and grace go together in the gospel. Ruth has found protection. Ruth has found wholeness. in the field of Boaz. Boaz continues to wish Ruth the blessing of God, the wholeness of God. As she comes to rest under the wings of the Almighty, what does she find there? Boaz tells her what she will find there. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Quite literally, Boaz says to Ruth, the Lord shalom you and reward your faithfulness. The Lord make you whole. The Lord make you complete. What does a stranger feel when they come into a strange situation? They feel utterly incomplete and inadequate. What does a stranger feel before the grace of God? Utterly incomplete and inadequate. But here we have the promise of what the gospel does. When we come to shelter in the wings of the Almighty, the Lord makes sinners whole. He takes strangers who feel incomplete and inadequate and makes them complete as they come under His shelter, as they identify with Him. We heard it this morning, didn't we? Complete in Christ. That's what the greater Boaz not only wishes, but commands for strangers tonight. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is our peace. There's that connection that Paul makes in Ephesians 2, verse 12 through 17, with this stranger grace and the Lord who is our peace. He says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain or of two one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. When we receive stranger grace, we receive the Lord who is our peace, Christ, who makes us whole, makes us one body. That's the peace that is offered from the greater Boaz tonight. It turns strangers into sons and daughters. We'll see that more fully next time. Boaz addresses Ruth as daughter. She's still learning to grow into that identity, because in verse 10, she still refers to herself as a stranger. But Boaz will persist in owning her as his daughter. That's what that stranger grace does. No longer strangers. Everyone wants a place to belong and be accepted. Happens on the playground. Children, maybe you know someone who's on the playground. They feel alone because they don't fit into the group. They're a stranger. But tonight, the gospel tells you to include them. To show a picture of how God includes strangers into His family. Maybe you were that stranger. And a group of friends together invited you and said, come along and play with us. When you were invited into that group, you felt complete, didn't you? You felt like you belonged. That's a picture of how God receive strangers, even children tonight. You don't have to remain afar. You don't have to stand out as a stranger. God comes in Christ and invites, seeking, identifying, inviting, protecting. You see, there's no better place tonight to belong and to be accepted than with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where stranger grace brings strangers for healing and wholeness. Gives them a sense of belonging, of being one with the body of Christ. So I want to close tonight with these questions. Christ is seeking you. Will you return to Him? Whose are you? Whose are you? To whom do you belong tonight? In which field are you tonight? The fields of Moab or the fields of Bethlehem? Whose protection are you under? Are you under the supposed protection of your worldly friends? We heard a few weeks ago that even those who call themselves friends will not spare their friends, but will beat them to within an inch of their death. Where do you belong? Where are you finding your sense of belonging? What humbles you? What amazes you? What moves you to worship? Once again, tonight, we're brought to the feet of the greater Boaz, who extends this stranger grace once more and says, come in. Come in. Come under these wings. Come under these feathers of protection, and I will keep you. Why would you trade that for anything less? Why would you remain a stranger? Amen. Lord, we pray that thy word would find its mark through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, converting, convicting, encouraging, drawing in, giving a sense of belonging in Christ, giving that wholeness, that peace that comes only through Christ. Bless thy word, Lord. Let it bring forth fruit to the glory of the greater Boaz. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.